Alrighty, whoa, hey now. Hey, Skull Radio, welcome in everybody. Isn't it great when I start the mics and then I realize I have a piece of fan mail to read on the show?
Oh.
That
wow.
I haven't printed out or it is not ready?
No, I would expect nothing but incredible technical expertise.
Corey's a little sour because he waited for me today.
It's a rare turn.
Usually I'm waiting for you. Today you waited for me. I was putting together a big investigation on the show, a major Joel Radio investigation. Not since I solved the murder of David Carradine, or actually the death of David Carradine. He was not murdered. I proved that conclusively on this show.
Did you?
Kinda. I think so. Not since the David Carradine investigation. And also, I figured out when Charlie Sheen got AIDS, and that it was the time that I had seen him,
which was not good.
No, I didn't see him when he got. Oh, see, let me take that back. Charlie Sheen had AIDS before I met him, but he was not public with it. That's what I figured out.
So you're off the hook, is what you're saying.
I did not give him AIDS.
You were not.
And he did not give me AIDS, I don't believe. So anyway. Joel Radio back with you. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. We got a good one for you today. Like I said, I have a major investigation into the identity of Banksy.
Okay.
You know, there was some news this week, and you guys probably read that news. Well, I followed up on that, and I have done a forensic investigation. Yes, I have. Which is multimedia, so you will only be able to hear it on this show. Hopefully, I will be able to present it in visual form in another medium. So that's something I have to work on when this show's in the can.
Perhaps it's time to revive. Didn't we have a YouTube channel at one point?
We do have a YouTube channel. Corey and Joel Radio
Is
YouTube
it time
channel.
To revive the YouTube channel for the purposes of this audiovisual presentation?
I don't know. I feel like what we can do is when I present this investigation here on this show, just take the audio from that show and superimpose still images atop of it, because much of it is still images.
Sure.
Not necessarily moving images.
Well,
so people won't have to look at you or I. I think that would benefit any video.
That is probably,
you and I not being in it is probably for the best.
I think that would be the key to our success on YouTube. There's a lot of channels that do that where you don't really see the... I watch a lot of like reviews of stuff unboxing,
Absolutely.
And you don't really see the...
you don't really see the guy doing the video.
Not all the time. You know, often it's the guy who will have his face forward, but... there's many of them I've never seen the host of the YouTube channel.
Yeah, you don't always see the guy, so I think not seeing us is fine.
That's
think,
for the best.
Well, you saw me on Public Access TV, and that was for the worst.
Wow.
So that I've been teasing that interview. That thing is up. It's on YouTube. It's also airing on CNN TV if you have Public Access here in Detroit. I believe Tuesday and Thursday evening at either 8:30 or 9. I think it's 8:30 one night, 9 the other night. I'm not sure exactly, but it's on YouTube. Corey, you saw some of it.
I did watch a good half of it.
Yeah,
was it about an hour?
26 minutes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I couldn't have made an hour. I watched probably 16, 17 of that.
Yeah, and it was a lot of the stories I've told on this show, so it wasn't anything unusual that these fans don't know. But if you want to see me talk instead of just listen to me talk, you can watch me on there. It's called Comedy Crash Landing. I'll have a YouTube link for you right there on joelradio.net. When you've listened to this, you can go over and find that. Tell a lot of stories. The guy had a lot of questions about the gathering of the Juggalos. I tried to answer those. I told the story about the Jack White Theater and how I got booed and some other stuff. I don't know. It was good. So Corey's furiously typing. What are you doing?
I am.
Corey is playing Words with Friends.
I'm interacting with the audience here.
Okay, cool. So do you have any comments on the show that I'm discussing?
Not yet. All right.
What? Oh, somebody sent you thoughts, I'm guessing.
All right. I get thoughts, but they're usually on previous shows. All right, fire away.
No, on the show. Just tell me. I mean, you watch the thing. Yes. One thing I'm not happy with is they, you know, it's public access. It's a low-budget show. And so they shoot this thing in SD, and for whatever reason, the YouTube is, like, stretched out. So not only am I super fat in the thing in real life, I'm, you know, how the camera adds 30 pounds. It must have added 70 on this fucking thing. I look unbelievably fat, I think.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's no good.
Well, you have, lost some weight.
I have lost weight.
I don't think you've lost so much yet that you are unrecognizable.
No, I'm not trying to be unrecognizable, but I'm trying to be lighter, and I have, since that thing was taped, I've lost 35 pounds.
Yeah, you have noticeably lost some weight since that was taped.
Yes, so. Yes, I'm doing the Penn Jillette diet plan.
There you go.
That he wrote in his book called Presto, How I Made Over 100 Pounds Magically Disappear.
Although I just
if you want to know more about that.
I just listened to Penn's show, and he said he ate like a whole jar of peanut butter.
I've not done that.
Because he says he's like up late at night, and he's like, well, I won't eat like an English muffin,
yeah,
but I'll sit there and eat a jar of peanut butter.
He likes peanut butter a lot. Yeah, that's his sort of weakness. So, but I've been vegan, no animal products of any kind, no sugar, no salt, no oil, no alcohol for about...
no purpose in living.
For about 35 days, and I've lost 35 pounds in 35 days.
Well, okay.
So that's pretty good. Now, the diet plan, the main course of it is 90 days. So I have another 55 days of the same thing, wherein I should hopefully lose about another 35 or 40 pounds, which will leave me weighing about 170, which is going to be what I weighed in high school. And yes. I'm probably 3 inches taller than I was in high school because I grew very late in life. So,
and then you'll level off and probably gain another 30 and equal out around 200, which, you know, is all right.
Boy, Mr. Optimism, Corey Hall.
I'm just being honest.
No, I mean, ultimately, in order to maintain your weight, you have to stay on a largely vegan diet. So I have to stick by the tenets of this diet most of the time. I can still have occasional meals. I can still have Thanksgiving dinner. If you and I want to go out and have pizza, we can do that. But I will not be eating...
you and I never want to go out and have pizza.
We really don't. We really want to get as far away from each other as possible.
Joel and I have meals occasionally.
Yes.
We specifically avoid pizza.
Well, because you...
It's a charged issue.
You throw a fit when then there's pizza, so we can't do that.
I don't.
But if you wanted to go to Wendy's or Taco Bell, we could do that. I'm fine with that. Okay. You know. So, but yeah, so
I would
that's
say
the weight loss thing.
Now, I'm not on a diet, but
you're not on a diet.
I'm not on a diet per se.
What are you drinking today? As an Arnold Palmer?
I'm drinking Arnold Palmer.
Okay.
Lemonade and tea.
Yeah, it's appropriate for the weather.
It is. It is appropriate. But there's 150 calories in this whole thing.
Well, how many servings is it though?
3 servings. 50.
It's 50 a serving. Okay, good. Well, that's good. You have to do the math right. You have to learn how to read.
So I mean, that's not. I don't think that's too bad.
No, I'm eating. I am now eating between, you know, I don't know exactly, but it's less than 1,000 calories a day. It's probably.
Whereas if this was even a Coke that's half the size, that would be
200
calories.
Is 240 in a 12 ounce. Yeah, so that would be twice that. So I'm eating less than 1,000 calories a day, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, seeds, and that's all I eat.
Yeah.
So I try. That's what I'm eating. And it's very, very difficult. It was worse the first 2 weeks of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm in like week 5, it's gotten better. I'm not hungry all the time. I had about 5 or 6 almonds before the show.
Wow.
I had a bowl of watermelon and pineapple for breakfast. And as of 5 p.m. as we're recording this, that's all I've eaten for the day. I will probably make an ear of corn and maybe a little bit of salad. And then maybe end the evening with an apple or an orange. And that'll be what I eat for the day.
Wow, that is a thrill
ride. That's all I eat. So, well, it's not a thrill. You know, was it a thrill ride eating 2 chicken sandwiches and a double cheeseburger from Burger King once a week? No. It tasted better than some of the stuff I'm eating. You know.
Yeah.
Brown rice and baby carrots taste like shit as a dinner. But... I'm seeing the effects of it, and I like the effects.
Well,
of
you're
it.
Going hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I'm doing that.
Hold on. Joel wants praise for the diet.
No, I don't want
praise.
Write
your letters in and say how
That's
wonderful
fine.
Joel is.
Well, look.
He eats like a fucking baby for 40 years of his life, and then he suddenly decides to get right with Jesus on a diet.
I'm maybe eating more like a baby now than I was before.
I know. I'm just saying, in terms of you have the palate of a 2-year-old child.
Well,
and now you're suddenly you're on a diet.
Well, the thing about it is, I could be adding things like vinegar to my salads, which I don't like, so I'm not doing that.
Yes,
I bought. You know, Penn suggested buying a bottle of Mrs. Dash seasoning because it has no salt in it. But I found the Mrs. Dash isn't very good.
I can't say that I've ever had Mrs. Dash seasoning.
It's just herbs and spices. It's a mixture of those with no salt in it. I tried that. I didn't really enjoy that.
I tried
black pepper. I didn't really enjoy black pepper.
This is what I'm saying.
So I'm eating.
You don't enjoy black pepper.
I'm eating when I make an ear of corn. I boil the corn, and I eat it with no salt, no butter. Okay.
Okay.
If I make a baked potato, so I'm baking a potato for an hour in the oven, and then I'm eating that with no butter, no salt. I often eat the skin of the baked potato. Not every time, but I often will eat the skin of the baked potato as well. Again, salad with no dressing. I found that shaved almonds and raisins help a salad, so I'll put those in now. That I added that for a little taste.
Okay, good for you.
So yeah, it's tough. It sucks, but I'm not saying it's fun. It's not fun.
All right,
it's not easy, but it's simple. That's what I'm saying about it. Really, I think anyone can. I mean, anyone will lose weight on this diet because fuck, you're ultimately eating a healthier diet than probably, you know, 99% of the people on the planet at this point.
Yeah.
And fuck, man, it sucks. But I feel good, you know. I feel very good.
All right.
I don't have a ton of energy. If I had a little sugar in me, I'd have a little more energy, but or a little caffeine. But fuck, man, I feel pretty good.
All right.
Went for a walk this morning at 8:30. That's new.
All right, good for you.
Yeah. All right.
No, I personally...
Corey's angry at me for this.
I personally find people's weight loss stories to be profoundly boring.
Okay, well, maybe, but I'm speaking to an audience now that's more than you, who I think will care about this. And there's guys like, you know, Cam, who listens to the show, longtime fan, lost a lot of weight recently. He went through a thing. I didn't really talk to Cam about how he did it, but I'd be interested in talking to him now. And
did Cam have surgery?
I don't think so.
Cam had like heart surgery.
Yeah, I think he had heart surgery, which made him lose the weight.
I haven't had that.
You know, I had high blood pressure. I still have high blood pressure
that
I take a pill for. But my high blood, my blood pressure is now like 107 over 70. This is very, very low. You know, it's below normal. So I might have to get off the blood pressure pill. I need to see my doctor because I did not consult my doctor before this diet. And I don't recommend doing that, but I'm able to take some of my vital signs here. I can take my pulse and my blood pressure and my temperature and all that stuff if I need to. So I'm doing that smartly. But, well, hopefully, listen, somebody might hear this and be inspired to lose weight.
All right.
I mean, listen, the guy that I describe what I eat on the show for years and years, it's terrible. It's terrible. I admit that. And now I'm showing people that if I can do it, I think anyone can do it. And will I make the 90 days? I think I will make the 90 days. Will I gain some weight after the 90 days? I very well may. All right. But... shit, man, if I can lose weight, anyone can lose weight. Because, fuck, I don't like anything. First salad I had was 5 weeks ago.
You don't enjoy black pepper.
Black pepper.
Right, you've never had a salad. This is a
I hadn't had a salad before 5 weeks ago.
This is a fascinating
I tasted meal. Salad. I never fucking ordered a salad for me to eat. Whenever I went to a wedding and they said, here's a salad, I said, I don't want that. But I ate one. And you know what? Here's what I found out about salads. I fucking hate them. I was right the whole time. But I'm eating them to get healthy. That's the point of this.
All right.
I didn't have a thing where I've all of a sudden eaten red bell peppers and Thai fruit every second. It's not going to happen. You know? But I'm being healthy. You know, you may not want to applaud me because you're the evil dark lord of hate. But I think a normal person who's a fan of me might be interested
in
this.
It's fucking childish to want applause for your weight
I don't want applause, but
you
I'm
do.
Thinking it
you
might
do.
Be interesting.
There's something in
I
you.
Know that you're not going to applaud. I
no,
know that.
But
I fucking know
there's
that.
There's something in you
Corey,
that needs
Corey,
to be coddled.
Corey, what? If I win an Oscar, you will not fucking thank me.
Oh,
and
stop
I know
it.
That you will not. You will not. You will go, well, I could have done that. I could have done that.
If you
that
won Oscar. An Oscar,
every girlfriend I've ever got was like a girl that you passed up on, and every gig I've ever had is a gig that you should have got, or you would have had no problem doing that.
I did not.
I should have been done for that. You know, it's everything. Everything is, and it's not about me. Even I'm not that big of a dick to think that it's all about me and you hate me. That's the way you are with everybody. You can't give anybody any praise whatsoever, and I even want your praise, but just
that's
you know,
not true.
Just to relate on a human level with me, you
good,
have a hard
good,
time.
But
doing.
How long? Good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Good for me. Boy, what? No sarcasm in that at all. Good for me. Like it's actually good for me. It's not bad for you.
No.
No one's telling you what to do.
All right.
I'm not telling you to lose weight. You do whatever you want. Listen, I believe people should eat whatever the fuck they want. I've been saying that since day one. You don't have to eat what I eat. Eat whatever you want. If you're healthy
you
on
and
that.
I have, you and I have never agreed on food issues.
No. I mean, look. You and I will fuck up some Oreos together. That we've always done that. Yes. That's no problem.
Speaking of Oreos.
Yeah. Corey still can't get over the Oreo flavors. He's not over that.
My wife is a...
You can't not sell the new Oreo flavors. You constantly are putting
My
them
wife
over.
Is an Oreo fundamentalist. In that if there will be any Oreos, they will only be the original Oreos.
Yeah.
She won't even go for double stuff.
Okay.
It's like living...
Well, she's a communist.
No, it's like living with an Oreo Amish person.
Okay,
you just
yeah.
will only believe
yeah.
that's the English that,
yes.
that eat those other Oreos.
Well, the Oreo double stuff, again, maybe that's the next Joel Radio investigation.
Yes.
I believe the double stuff is closer to the original Oreo than the original Oreo is. And I believe there was a time when the double stuff, I believe that the amount in the singular Oreo,
yeah.
the regular Oreo, the standard central casting Oreo, is less than it used to be. So now a double stuff Oreo is closer to an original Oreo. I believe they've chinched out on how much stuffing is in the
well,
Oreo.
Well, but how would we prove that? Because
I would
have to get
some old Oreos.
We'd have to get a Oreos from
I would have to go back in time and find
yeah.
photographs of old Oreos, and it would be annoying.
Then we'd have to... This is a lot of work that goes
well,
into
Well, listen,
this.
I think I'm going to prove who Banksy is today. I might be able to get to the bottom of Oreos.
We would have to find out when the double stuff came out.
Sure.
You'd have to do that, figure
yeah.
that out,
yeah.
which I'm sure someone knows on the internet.
Yes.
And then you'd have to ascertain photos or physical. I don't think an Oreo from pre-1987
would survive.
Still exist.
We couldn't weigh the Oreos to see
but
if the old Oreos did,
if somebody's got a package of unopened Oreos from 1987 and you open them and they're still in perfectly good shape, that should guarantee you never eat another Oreo.
Yeah, there's a lot of preservatives in the Oreos then.
Anyway,
I bit on
the Swedish fish Oreo.
Oh god.
And there are many reaction videos floating all over YouTube.
Well, this
right now.
I, without eating them, let me give you my sense.
Yeah.
Swedish fish are delicious. Oreos taste pretty good. I don't want the two of those together in my mouth at the same time.
Well, that is pretty good.
Well, my guess is this, though. Let me ask this about the Swedish fish Oreo. Is it the actual Swedish fish between the cookies, or is it just regular Oreo filling that sort of is flavored like Swedish fish?
It's regular Oreo cream that is flavored.
Oh, okay.
But I think that it has a little slightly different texture. If it was actually like gummy Swedish fish between two Oreos, I would be interested in that product.
That would be interesting, sure.
But this is instead regular Oreo cream, but I think they put some pectin in it or something because it does have a slightly different texture than the regular.
It's a little chewier then? Is it
it's a little chewier. It's got a little more toothsomeness to it.
Because really, let's face it, how would you describe a Swedish fish texture? It's not quite a gumdrop. It's not quite a gummy bear. It's not quite like a chiclet or chuckles.
Is there
a gumdrop?
Is there some kind of a Mohs scale for gummy?
There should be, yeah. Like, which is your?
Because you have your very
chewy candy.
You have your very loosey goosey gummies.
Yeah,
you have your very soft pliable gummies. Yeah. Like your Haribos.
Yeah, those are pretty pliable.
And
sure.
then you get
your Black Forest a little more pliable. Haribos a little bit tougher.
Yeah, a little more viscosity. You start talking about.
Yeah.
You get there must be a gradient. We should develop a system.
Well, that's. Wait a minute. I'll work on that. Let me write down what I have to investigate. Okay. Oreo amount of filling, and chewiness of gummy. It's gonna be hard for me to do either of these.
I know you're not gonna do any of this.
I'm on a diet. Why am I doing food investigate? By the way, I saw Sausage Party. I could barely sit through that fucking thing because
it was all hot dogs.
Oh god, it was ridiculous. But anyway, go ahead. Swedish fish Oreos.
They're gross. First I had to go to Kroger, I ended up going to three. I don't usually shop at Kroger.
You're a Meijer guy?
We have a little mix because, you know, we have so many groceries around us, but
Meijer's the go-to.
That's the main one.
Okay.
And then she likes Aldi.
Okay.
Which I find to be a gulag. I find Aldi to be joyless and unfun.
Let me ask about Aldi. I've never been in an Aldi. I have Aldi questions.
Yes.
Is it brand name? Is everything in there is Aldi branded or some wacky thing?
It's third-party, wacky off-branding. So what they do is they do a thing called...
which I know Trader Joe's is kind of the same. Although Trader Joe's has independent people that can bring their cheeses and stuff and their coffees in. Does Aldi allow that?
They do a thing, though, where they rebox it. What it is you're actually buying a regular product.
Yeah.
But it's been reboxed or...
Aldi branded.
Yes. And I there's a term for it, and I can't think of the term
for
it.
Okay, that's fine.
Interesting enough, those two are from the same family tree.
Trader Joe's and all. That's why I brought it up. Yeah, I know.
They started off in Germany under this. And if you go to Germany, there's Aldi's all over the place.
Yeah. And it's funny that Trader Joe's is kind of this hippie place, and then Aldi's like kind of for poor people. In America, anyway.
If you go into Germany,
it's just a regular supermarket.
It's a standard supermarket, and they're ubiquitous. They're all over the place. I went into an Aldi in Germany, and it was nice. It was pleasant, but it's German.
Yeah.
There are no frills.
Yeah.
There are no...
Are there German brands in Aldi?
Yeah, there are... Like, there'll be stuff like Bavarian mustard and...
But then why does Aldi not allow branded food in their stores?
It saves money.
Oh, okay.
If they do this off-brand packing...
Yeah.
So basically what they'll do is they'll buy Oreos and put them in a bag that says Aldi, or it'll be...
Well, they'll buy the Kroger brand Oreo knockoff will just be the Aldi brand. Same stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of times when you buy like fruit juice and stuff. The cranberry juice from Kroger and Meijer is the same stuff. One of them says Meijer brand cranberry juice. One of them says Kroger brand. So you're saying Aldi's the same way that way.
Yeah. Okay. So Aldi and Trader Joe's both have that same kind of model, and it is cheaper. I will say that we can get more stuff for $50 at Aldi than we would at a Meijer, sure.
But you have to buy the off-brand stuff, though. That's the only catch.
It's all off-brand stuff, and some of this... Okay.
What about, like, produce, meat, that stuff? How's that?
I'm not as...
You're not into that?
I'm a little suspicious of it.
Really?
I don't know why.
Okay.
The produce sometimes isn't as good.
Okay.
So if we really are just going to, like, get some... We were like, oh, we want some fresh fruit or whatever.
Yeah.
We might go to Whole Foods.
Okay.
Or, you know, we kind of mix and match a little bit. We do smaller trips.
Yes.
I think we'll do kind of smaller groupings, like maybe...
Well, I have to do that when I'm buying my fruit and stuff that I'm eating now.
Yeah.
Because the stuff goes bad. You know, you can't leave it around for, you know, more than a week. Some of that shit you don't want, you know.
I remember I had an English friend that was visiting, and we went to the supermarket, and he was like, why are the Doritos in such big bags?
Okay.
And I was like, well, because Americans go to the supermarket every 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And just buy insane amounts of food.
Yeah.
And then everything's stored up. And this was 12.
Well, it's also because our supermarkets are a pain in the ass to go to. They take a long time. They're inefficient, largely speaking. And, you know, you can't just pull up, you know, like you can't pull up curbside, walk into the market, grab some things, put them in one bag. You have to get a fucking cart.
Yes.
Our supermarkets are... large, and in from their largeness is something about it that is convenient, but it's also inconvenient at the same time.
The Whole Foods that's by us is somewhat small.
Yeah.
It used to be a Farmer Jack.
Yeah, okay.
Years and years ago. But it's not a mega store. Yeah. They're now, of course, building a bigger Whole Foods to replace it nearby.
People can't get enough of that.
No, which is why, like, if I go to Whole Foods, though, I'll go in there and get, like I said, we'll get a couple apples or pomegranates or something, you know, like we'll get
a couple. Is everything organic at Whole Foods, or do you have the option of non-organic?
Not everything is organic, but there's a lot of food organic. And it's
which is way more expensive.
It is,
because Kroger that I go to has an organic section. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, you're gonna pay an extra dollar you know, if it's an organic peach.
Yeah.
The price goes up 75 cents over the, you know, non-organic, whatever. So
and the cow shit is free. That's the fucking...
But I mean, if you do go and like get steaks or something at a Whole Foods, you get good.
You'll get good steaks.
You're getting good fish and steak and stuff. So we'll go in and get like cheese and bread and fruit.
Well, I believe in America, you can get good stuff anywhere at this point.
But you can't actually get a giant. No, it's not crap.
Yeah.
In terms of,
So Aldi, I think, probably has decent stuff. But
the thing about Aldi is goofy. You got to bring a quarter.
To get the cart. Oh.
There's
geez.
A system where you, there's a chain.
See, that's why I don't go. I'm out right there.
I know. You have to remember to have a quarter in your pocket.
Jesus.
So there's a system with a chain they all lock into each other.
Well, so it's like the airport,
right?
The
right.
luggage shuttle.
So you got to put a quarter in there. You get your quarter back out when you leave, but they don't trust you to.
It's a deposit on the cart.
Yeah, you got to rent the cart.
Okay.
They don't trust you with the cart, and so you got to do that, and then you got to bring your own bags.
Yeah. Okay.
And all these just kind of laid out in a real bare bones, like just slap the shit on the shelf. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, whereas Trader Joe's is kind of whimsical and delightful, and
yes.
like. Everybody seems to be having fun in there.
It's
the
all
staff
everything's written on chalkboards, and
you know,
it's, yeah.
Every time I go to Trader Joe's, I get a little coffee. They get a little like Dixie yeah. cup free coffee, and like I'm just like that. Trader Joe's is a delight. Aldi is like walking through a shtetl in 1932.
By the way,
I
can drink Siberia. Coffee on my diet, but I don't like coffee. All right, keep going on Aldi.
See, you don't like coffee. I drink.
If you go on this diet, you can drink all the coffee you want, as long as it's black.
I drink insane amounts of coffee.
Do you drink it black?
No.
Well, could you drink it black?
I would probably put some kind of sweetener in it.
You probably need to drink it black. Or else you'd just... I mean, you might still lose weight on the diet. But
I might put a little stevia or...
it's not allowed.
What's the other thing? Oh, okay.
Stevia or something, yeah, the artificial sort of somewhat... Natural
less,
sweeteners.
They're less glycemic.
Not
anyway.
Aspartame.
No.
All right, Aldi. What were we talking about?
Aldi's.
Oreos,
anyway,
Aldi's.
It's Aldi's a nightmare. But so I had to go to Kroger for these Oreos.
Yeah, okay.
And that and was...
Did you go to... You said you went to three Krogers?
I ended up going to three Krogers.
Because nobody had them and you just
right.
kept fucking driving around
yeah.
looking for Krogers?
Yeah, it was kind of a...
How close are three Krogers?
Well, I didn't do it all at the same time.
Oh, okay. I thought you were on, like...
We went to the Kroger near us,
I need
struck out, and then I was out and about, and I went...
And you said, oh, here's a Kroger.
Let me swing into this
yeah,
Kroger.
Okay, yeah.
And ultimately, I found one in Dearborn in the Kroger there. So...
We have your goldfish.
This red.
your Swedish fish Oreo.
We'll get into those particular inhabitants of the Metro Detroit area in a moment. And so, anyway, the Swedish fish, ultimately, yes. I am fooled occasionally by the Oreo branding. I didn't try the blueberry pie because I knew that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, you don't even probably like a blueberry pie.
Well, I like a blueberry pie.
If
but
it's
there's
an actual
no way,
blueberry pie.
There's no way a cookie is going to approximate that. Like, okay.
That is the problem with all of those, is everything tastes like the fucking cookie.
Swedish fish tastes like chemicals to begin with.
Yeah.
They really does taste like... It tastes like industrial runoff... From that river.
It tastes
that
like artificial raspberry or something, I guess.
Yeah, it feels like when the Oompa Loompas got, like, you know, tubes and pipes and stuff, they just squirt some of that out and the Swedish fish are made.
Snozberry.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
it tastes like. Yeah.
Whereas a blueberry is a real blueberry in a blueberry pie
yeah, yeah.
is a real thing,
yeah.
and that's delicious and wonderful. I don't think a cookie is going to approximate that.
Okay.
There you go.
You're still going in. But there's still flavors. But at this point, let me ask you this. Are you going to, in the future... If something strikes uh-huh. your fancy, you will buy in the future more wacky Oreos.
I mean, you know, they have not gone into savory. This might be the next step for Oreos.
So you would like a, what would be a savory?
What if they could do it like a combo. What if you had like a pretzel Oreo?
A pretzel Oreo or
yeah.
a goldfish Oreo or
yeah.
something.
What if they
like
went crazy with
cheddar
that?
Cheddar cheese Oreo.
Well, okay, the one that I found was completely, we also tried these that I found completely ridiculous.
I think we had key lime pie and birthday cake on this.
And they
show.
Were shitty.
And they were not good.
No.
We would have preferred a regular Oreo. I've had peanut butter Oreos, very good. I will say
okay,
that.
But see, again, this relates...
Peanut butter and chocolate are... Yeah.
This goes to the basic, don't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
Would this normally go well with chocolate?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
If it's something that goes... Okay, orange Oreos maybe could work because chocolate and orange goes well.
Yeah, yeah.
Peanut butter, obviously, is
sure.
This is how we won the war, I think, is with our chocolate and peanut butter technology, which Europe still is not embraced. They're still fucking around with the hazelnuts.
And the hazelnuts are gaining ground here.
There is. I mean, and then there's nothing wrong with Nutella. Good for you, but, you know.
Toffee Fae. It's too good for
that's
kids.
True. We have the peanut butter and chocolate technology, yeah. and that's why we're America, goddammit. Anyway. The Swedish fish, don't do it to yourself.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
So there is something that could get you to go back to the wacky Oreos.
I don't know. We'll see what crazy flavor.
Okay.
You know, the birthday cake, please. I don't really want a birthday cake anyway.
Yeah.
I don't generally.
If it's somebody's birthday, maybe you'll have a birthday.
Well, sure, but I don't generally enjoy like.
Well, the other thing about birthday
white
cake,
anyway.
Right? Yeah, I mean, birthday cake is very generic. That seems like that's yellow cake with like vanilla frosting, right? A birthday cake. I prefer if it's a birthday cake, I'm like, give me the whole chocolate. You know what I mean?
Right. Sure.
Give me the whole Magilla.
I'll take pie over cake at any. I'm just talking about food to make you miserable.
Yeah, please do. Let's just only talk about food.
This is all a strategy.
By the way, look, I'm not. It's not like I'm. It's not like I'm yearning for food, Corey. It's not like I'm sitting here going, "Oh God, I'm counting down the days to November 12th at noon when I will feast at Buddy's Pizza out on the east side with my family." It's not like I've made any plans to eat. But yes, actually, when I go to Boston next week.
You're gonna break.
I'm going to probably have clam chowder in Boston as that'll be because I'm going out of town for 5 days.
Now hold on, do you like clams?
I love clam chowder soup. I love a New England creamy white clam chowder.
I had never known you to enjoy a clam.
You know what? That's a thing that my dad would eat when I was a little boy. Sure. I'd sit on his lap at Big Boy, and he'd get clam chowder soup, and he'd tell me, "You're not gonna like this. Try it anyway." And I tried it, and it was delicious. And I know people that eat a lot of stuff. That like have a way expanded palate than me. That hate clam chowder soup.
I'm not really a big clam fan.
Really?
I mean,
but you don't even taste the clams. It's like it's a salty potato base.
There's a fishiness to it. There's a little fishiness. There's a gaminess.
Some people put bacon in it. That's no good. Then the bacon takes over. You don't want bacon.
It does overpower a little bit. Yeah.
You want good clam chowder if you're not in Boston.
Yeah.
Well, in Detroit, Red Coat Tavern is very good clam chowder.
Yeah.
And Nationwide, Red Robin, believe it or not, has a nice clam chowder that you can get all day.
The last time I went into a Red Robin, it was with our niece and nephew and my sister-in-law and her brother-in-law. It was such a goddamn nightmare.
It is a crazy kid nightmare.
It is such a kid nightmare.
I think that food is so delicious, though.
You're so wrong.
I think it's so good.
See, this is why I'm amazed. You're on a diet.
Corey, I don't think I'm not amazing myself. When I step on the scale every morning, I amaze myself that I'm losing weight every day.
I sometimes when I come here, maybe it's stress eating, I will bring chips and stuff.
Yeah.
Because
you can bring chips. You don't have to not bring chips.
No, what we used to we don't do that as much. Okay. We used to do that every show.
Yeah.
We would eat snack food.
Yeah.
And now I'm stopping. I'm doing less of that.
It's okay. You can do whatever
this
you want.
This is the whole slow process to the grave. Is you stop having fun.
I'm having fun.
All right. Okay.
Going on walks.
Whippy shit. So do I. I walk like 2 miles a day.
You walk 2 miles a day.
I do. Oh, shut up. I do. Well, go to the pedometer. How dare you?
I'm sure you're walking. Well, here's the thing about the diet. And again, I want to shut up about the diet. I don't want to talk about the diet every day.
That's fine. You need
the reason the diet. The reason. Okay, I don't. Let me just make this point about exercise, and then we'll move on to other things. We have to unmask Banksy on the show. Everyone's waiting for that. No one cares about my weight loss. Listen, there's no exercise on this Pendulette diet. It's 90 days no exercise. When I'm done with 90 days,
I find that's an interesting component.
Well, it's interesting because you know the exercise, especially if you're lifting weights. You know, you need all that extra protein to build muscles, and while you are getting protein from the green vegetables you're eating and stuff. Ultimately, you're going to lose muscle mass as part of the weight loss. You're losing fat, you're losing muscle mass. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I used to go to the gym between 2 and 3 times a week for 7 years. I had a gym membership, okay?
Mm-hmm.
At the corner gym up here in Ferndale, Michigan, okay? And, you know, I would eat. I try to eat good. I try to not eat soda. But, you know, I would have McDonald's or Burger King a couple times a week. I would eat that. And I would go to the gym, and you know what? It's you can't really do enough exercise to burn off a 1,300-calorie meal from McDonald's. You just can't do it. I mean, that's like you'd have to fucking run a marathon to burn 1,300 calories. It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's no one can do that. So it's really all about diet. And I'm you know, Penn is proof of that, and I'm proof of that. So
well, all right, there you
Penn
go.
Penn lost over 100 pounds.
This is more about no exercise. Man love for Penn.
Listen, I was inspired by Penn.
Yes.
I was inspired by Penn. Penn was 320
pounds. You are a
devotee
of the Church of Pendulette.
Penn was overweight with high blood pressure. Yes. I was overweight with high blood pressure.
All right.
I think Pendulette's a smart guy. He's entertaining to me. I followed his plan.
I'll tell you this now, Joel. I wish you well.
Yeah.
I hope you continue with your diet.
Yeah.
I mean that wholeheartedly. I loathe and despise evangelicalism in any kind, and I find that particularly including...
Well, you evangelicize all kinds of fucking shit.
People...
Just, you only things that you disagree with. You don't... You hate people who are... Okay, go ahead.
Including people that are real close to you. Once they become part of a diet or a lifestyle or a fitness regime, it's all they fucking talk about.
Okay, I'm not talking about it anymore. I'm going to talk about Banksy.
God, does that make me sick.
I'm talking about Banksy. Okay.
I went to a we went to a 4th of July party, and there were a bunch of CrossFit people there.
Yes.
And all they did was talk about the fucking CrossFit.
Yeah, CrossFit's idiotic, by the way.
And I really find that shit to be
it's annoying.
Really
it's annoying to
dull.
You. It's annoying to you, and that's fine.
Go ahead.
That's fine. I mean, it's not an interest. It's not a common interest that we have. I understand that.
All right.
But it is my life, and it is my show. So
Godspeed.
I'm going to talk about
it. All right.
All right, let's go on. What do you want to talk about?
It is so hot in the studio.
You know what?
I'm thinking of doing this in the dark.
The air conditioner, I think, has officially died.
Yeah.
I think we've seen the last of this.
Es muerte.
The Joel Radio Studios air conditioner, I think, is dead. And buried, so I'm going to have to get a new one in here. I think I actually have a spare one that I can put in, but not right now. But we do have a fan going as well. It's warm.
Is there one upstairs? Yeah, you got
a
schlep
one
from
upstairs. Yeah, there's a spare one up there. By the way, I did an investigation, a smaller investigation, into the Olympic Village condom controversy on the last show, where Corey was convinced that it's wild sex orgies every night, that the American gymnasts are being borked off the walls by the swim team or the
oh,
team
you just couldn't you when did now Joel when did you start becoming joyless when you're starting to bleed the joy out
no
of
no
it.
No I so I did it I did
you did an investigation
I did a very brief investigation but here it is I looked up how many athletes were in Rio for the Olympics the past Summer Olympics 11,000 athletes from all over the world were living in the Olympic Village now according to the article I read 450,000 condoms were distributed to the Olympic Village, you are to believe this.
It's a little bit of overkill.
Okay. So, if you consider that there's 5,500 male athletes, maybe there's some more athletes and female athletes, but let's call it an even split of male-female athletes. Because the women athletes don't really need the condoms, by my theory.
Our delegation's what? How big?
I don't have that. I'm going with the world. Right. It's one world, Corey. I'm not breaking it down by how many condoms the Americans use by how many condoms the Chinese.
Well, that's another breakdown.
Well, that's another breakdown. I don't have access to those stats, but if it's 5,500 male athletes in the Olympic Village, it's 82 condoms per male athlete, by my math.
Okay.
Do you think it's ridiculous now? Does that seem a little... Does that seem that you would, even if you say, okay, we'll give the girls 41 condoms and the guys 41 condoms, do you believe that you went to your dorm room in the Olympic Village and you found on top of your bed next to your pillow 41 condoms? Does that seem plausible to you?
No, I agree
it's
with you.
It's hyperbole is what it is.
I agree
it's bullshit.
With you
it's these, propaganda.
I agree with you that these stories are silly.
Yes, they're silly propaganda
the
stories.
The stories are silly. I don't think that disproves that people are fucking at the Olympics.
No, no, no. But I'm saying they're not fucking to the rate of, they're not fucking 82 times if you're a male athlete. You're not having intercourse 82 times over the course of a 2-week Olympic game or whatever it is, a 2.5-week event. You're probably not.
Uh-huh.
Right? Does that sound? I mean, is that sound?
Well, okay. People are busy. They're training.
They're competing in the athletes.
I think though, is the second your events are over, then it's fucking.
Corey, you will not. You will not give up the dream.
Well, I got some.
Somebody needs to.
One of the bits of feedback I got about the show previously.
Yes.
Was that a caller. We'll call him Scott from Madison Heights.
Scott said
you were off your mind about comic book conventions. And he was a former employee at a longtime comic
you
book
are
store.
You are out of mind or I am
you
out of mind?
You are out of your mind.
Oh, because again, no, wait a minute. See, again, the comic book guys are going to tell you how much they get laid every minute. That's the thing.
This is a guy that never, no, he didn't.
It's a guy who doesn't get laid telling
no,
you how much
no,
he gets
no,
laid.
No, he's married and has a much younger wife.
He's married. Exactly. Him, you and him, neither, both of you are married and neither is getting laid. get the fuck out of here with this.
He was never a guy. He worked at a comic book store and yet always had girlfriends. He's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
And not a Schmendrick that would need to go to a con.
That's
I'm
fine.
Saying the Schmendricks go to the convention to bump uglies with fat girls. And that's what's going on. And I know you don't want to believe it.
It's not.
If you could only embrace Green Lantern, you could get some green poontang.
I'm telling you about the Gathering of the Juggalos. I tell
the
you about what goes
Juggalos
on backstage.
Is not the same
I
thing.
I tell you about hanging out with Charlie Sheen and Vanilla Ice and Ron Jeremy.
Okay, first of all,
and I'm not saying
just
that. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Let's talk science here.
Yes.
Just because you do not observe the phenomena does not mean the phenomena is unobservable.
I've observed phenomena, but it's.
Don't
there
tell
is
me.
No parity between that and a comic book convention. There just isn't. There just isn't. And you can't say that it is. You can't say that it is. You can't say you go to a fucking esports video game event and it's as wild as a rock and roll festival. You can't say that.
I'm not saying, I'm saying that there's probably more fucking at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that there is sex going on at the comic book conventions. And there is more than you would think there was.
I know exactly how much sex at the comic book conventions have. I know exactly.
You know
I know how much exact sex is going on there. I know how much sex is going on at the Gathering of the Juggalos. I know how much sex is going on at the Olympic Village.
All right.
I know all about those things.
You know all.
About those things. I don't know all about all.
What is the male?
But I think,
hold
I
on.
Think, I mean,
what is the male female
ratio at the Olympic Games?
At
I don't
the gathering.
Know. At the gathering, probably 10 guys for every girl.
That's why there's no fucking.
No.
That's
there's lots
honor,
of. Wait. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's lots of fucking going on at the Gathering of the Juggalos. My point is that it's not that every guy that goes gets laid. What is the male to female ratio at a comic book convention?
I think it has gotten okay. There was no fucking going on.
There's one girl. There's one girl and a Wonder Woman out that everybody's taking pic. That's 20 guys are taking a picture.
There
of.
Are way more women than there used to be.
Okay,
it
but it's still
okay.
Not.
Now I'm granted.
It's not 50-50 on any level. And if you say 50-50,
no,
I'm throwing something at your head.
It's more 70-30, but there are
70 men to 30 women.
I'm set percentage, but
70-year-old guys to 30-year-old women.
70-year-old guys on 30-year-old women. No, I'm saying.
Listen, the comic book hotline is lighting up. I apologize, Corey can't take your call because he's getting a text from a guy at DC who's getting blown by a girl dressed as She-Ra.
Right.
Come on,
I'm going to see if we'll get some more feedback on.
Please
this.
Get some. You know what? Who cares? No, listen. Right. Everybody lives in their own little fantasy world, and that's fine. And
this
every
is not
guy
a fantasy
wants to
world.
Claim they're getting laid more
okay.
than they are.
These people are going to live out a fantasy world in which they fuck each other in costumes that are dressed like orcs. I'm telling you, it happens.
It's no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Let's move on. But anyway, I did the odds. I did the stats on the Rio athletes. I think I've proven my point here. Maybe there were 450,000 condoms ordered and people are taking them home as souvenirs and they're distributing them, you know, in hotel front desks and things. But, I mean, come on. Get over it.
According to
Ridiculous.
Wikipedia, there were 555 American competitors at the Olympics.
Okay, so they were 5% of the athletes.
It's a pretty large delegation.
Oh, 5%.
We won 46 gold, 37 silver. Anyway. I don't know how many of those golds were for blowjobs.
Well, listen,
but,
we can juice our guys up and win some awards. Let's do it.
They don't. I don't see any information about the male female breakdown.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I mean, I'm estimating it's half, but it could be more one way or the other.
I would presume that our country would have more female athletes than most others. Or many others, I would say progressive a democracy your country is, the more likely they are to have women participating in sports.
When the women are just making babies and plowing the fields, they're probably
not a lot of female
athletes
from Djibouti.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, Title IX also indicates that we have, that's why our women's U.S. World Cup team is great, except this year at the Olympics, they choked. But anyway.
All right, let's do a couple other things here, because I think maybe we'll just end with the Banksy investigation. Maybe we'll just close on that. We'll keep everybody. Okay, Gene Wilder dead this week. Very sad news. We all love Gene Wilder. No one had really seen Gene in a long time. I think I was doing some Googling, some YouTubing, and he was promoting his book in, like, the 90s. He'd written a book, and he was really no longer making movies. But if you want to see him on Conan, I found that video from the original Conan, Late Night with Conan O'Brien. He's on there. And he did an interview with Robert Osborne at a screening or something.
Yeah,
a film festival.
He'd been writing books.
Yeah, so...
he'd been writing novels. I think he did, like, a Will and Grace or something.
Yeah, he did Mad About You or Will and Grace or one of those.
We should ask the award-winning writer of those that we often see at comedy clubs.
But anyway, so you can see some old interviews with Gene where he's, you know, older than he was in the movies. Because the last movie he made was in 91, was Another You with Richard Pryor.
Really
awful, movie. That was the last movie he made, I think. So anyway,
And another thing, and I was talking to a friend yesterday that was that was like, oh, who gives a shit when celebrities die?
No.
And I thought that was maybe once I would have had that opinion. I know I'm a monster. I'm an evil, horrible, hate monger, but. I certainly felt that Gene Wilder was a great influence.
Yeah,
a tremendous comedian.
Yeah, he was a great comedic actor and very very talented. And you know, he's in three all time classic films. I mean, that's more than it's more than a lot of people.
I would say the producers. I
was going Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, and Willy Wonka as the three.
Well, okay. So I would throw the producers
in,
too.
The producers in, that's four, I mean...
And then I like Stir Crazy a bit.
Yeah.
And Silver Streak, the
and, you know, Brandon. I will throw in Woody Allen's Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex.
Yeah,
the segment of that, probably the best segment of that film.
He's only in about 15 minutes of
it.
But
it's a tremendous piece that they did there, a short piece for Woody Allen that was tremendous. So.
I mean, look, in a long career, you're going to make some stink bombs, like Haunted Honeymoon with Gilda Radner.
Exactly.
But the work he did with Mel Brooks was stellar and at both of their peaks.
And, you know, he created and wrote Young Frankenstein. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm. I've been instructed to punch you in the sack for your
Comic-Con.
Please,
bring the guy in with his girls and let him fuck right here in Joel Radio Studio. I'm offering it. The furries can come. The fucking Avengers can come and fuck if they want. Thor's fucking hammer can come in here. Whatever you want. They can all have sex.
I've had a request from Michael Carrion for your daily macros.
My daily macros.
Of protein, carbs to fat ratio.
That's fine. Good. Okay. I'll do that for you. Why?
I'm just kidding.
How is he even hearing the show? What are you doing?
No, I put out a Facebook message and said, we're taping now if you
have any questions. Oh, if you have any questions.
And now people are,
No. You don't count your calories necessarily. And you don't have to. See, now he's asking a diet. Can I answer a diet question that
he
asks?
Fire away.
You don't count that stuff. You only eat whole plants.
It's only about
fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, and seeds. No sugar added, no oil added, and no.
But isn't it really about the calorie number?
Well, ultimately, here's the thing. When you're eating brown rice and carrots, how many calories is that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I eat all the brown rice and carrots I can eat. It's probably 350 calories.
Right.
And I'm full on that horrible food. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to, a banana. Is like 70 calories. An apple's 100 calories. A baked potato is 100 calories. You know, you want to eat 10 apples, five apples and five baked potatoes a day, that's 1,000 calories.
Right.
That's enough food for most people. Well, so you don't really need to count the calories, but
there's scientific evidence that calorie restriction is a key to longevity.
Okay.
That and spite. Because miserable people live forever.
I'm not miserable. I'm going to die soon.
Like Phyllis Schlafly was 92.
You will live a long life.
Oh, that's right. I'm gonna be rolling on, hating away.
Any more Gene Wilder thoughts?
I love Gene Wilder. And,
yeah, smart guy, funny.
Seemed like a genuinely lovely gentleman.
Yeah, good guy. Yeah,
seemed like a nice fella.
Yeah.
Because normally you'll hear some stories in show
about how he's
about
a prick or
someone's
something.
A prick,
a drug addict or a drunk.
I mean,
or something.
And I wouldn't be stunned if there was, but I never heard a bad
look. All
story about Gene.
All artists. Are difficult on some level.
Sure.
because you're trying to make good art, and art is not something like building a house or constructing something with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, you know, there's not that tent, you know, it's more ethereal. Well, and so you have to use human interaction to get what you want. And sometimes you have to be tough on people, you know.
The very process of being an artist and not, you know, in the limited amount that I can call myself as a dick joke technician, an artist, you don't see the world the same way.
No, and
you have to have a perspective which is outside of the norm, which maybe doesn't make people comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And will also, an artist will generally, I find, at least with creative people that I know and have met, will be looking, their vision is wider.
Yeah.
And they have seen ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And they are waiting for you to get where they, they're waiting for you to see what they've seen.
Okay.
And it gets frustrating. So well, that yeah, makes, that's why they say artists are difficult.
And, you know, in film, unlike stand-up, you know, film and theater, which were, you know, Gene's two big stocks in trade, collaborative, highly collaborative.
Sure.
Where you really have to fight for what you want, and you really mm-hmm. have to bring people around to your ideas. So there is just, by its very nature, there is a lot of ordering people around. There is a lot of commanding people and having people do what you want and things like that. And so it's always going to be difficult, and anyone who's been on a film set or made a film or a play or been part of an improv troupe or any of those things knows that, hey, man, fights happen. You and I make a show together. We fight
all the time.
All the time. Sometimes about the show, sometimes about other things, but it is tough sometimes and very challenging. But through all that, you've never really heard about Gene Wilder being a prick, and that's a testament to him.
That is nice.
It's a testament to him.
Very, this is just buffering us for when Mel Brooks dies.
Speaking of pricks.
So there you go.
Speaking of pricks, Anthony Weiner in trouble.
Oh!
Again, I saw.
Zing! Look at that! Joel just dropping.
Professional comedian segue.
Just dropping a segue on you.
Professional comedian. Anthony Weiner in trouble again. I saw the Weiner documentary the day that Huna left him, or Huma. It's Huma. Is it Huma or Huna?
Huma.
Huma left him.
Hakuna Matata.
Huna Mahama.
Huma
Hamana, Hamana, Hamana.
Yes.
But Huna left him and
Huma.
Huma left him.
Thank you.
Thank you for clearing it up and me finding it up.
Harambe.
Because he was caught, you know, sending more pictures of his junk. And I really enjoyed that documentary. I'm not sure where. I think you have to go to a theater now to see that. I don't even believe it's streaming yet. So
okay.
I was able to track down a screener copy.
It came out in very. Yeah. Uh-huh. it played here in July, I think.
Yeah.
For a very limited run.
Yeah. It should go wide now that this news broke.
It really should be. They should be putting it on Netflix today.
Yeah, it'd be if they were smart.
It will show up on a lot of year-end best.
Yeah, so it'll get its a bigger push then.
I don't know why it came out in the summer anyway.
But here's the amazing thing, and you reviewed it a few weeks ago when you saw it.
Sure.
To me, seeing it, you know, the day of that, it's like, it's like they let these cameras follow him around because I think Weiner, you know, the story is he's running for mayor of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of that, another scandal breaks and, you know, ruins his chances. But it's like he thought by having the cameras follow him that he would come off as a good guy.
Yeah.
And it's the complete opposite of that. And it's like, boy, does a guy shot himself in the foot that publicly? I don't know.
And it's also kind of sad because he was doing well in the campaign.
Yeah, he made sense. You want to like Anthony Weiner, the politician, and yet hate the guy.
Even if you didn't like his you know, even if you're conservative, you could probably admire the aggressiveness with which he pursued it.
Yeah,
he was definitely combative, and he was out doing appearances like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah,
like right before this broke.
Yeah,
I saw him on, I think, Colbert, and he was on Bill Maher. I think he was.
Yeah, he sort of was trying to get back into the flow of the world because his wife is going to ultimately end up in Hillary Clinton's administration.
Yes, she's like,
should she win the presidency, which she will in all likelihood.
His wife, now estranged, is Hillary Clinton's top aide de camp.
She would be the chief of staff in all likelihood.
Right. She's kind of her right hand woman, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's people asking how involved he was in policy discussion. I don't know. I mean, he might have. I don't think he was on the campaign.
No, probably not.
And they weren't using him.
They were keeping him at, you know.
They were keeping a certain distance. They certainly weren't using him as a surrogate.
No, no, no.
And you know, it is a great documentary though.
It is. It is very good.
About a few things. One, the media.
Yeah.
All they care about. And now, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I don't think the media comes off very well in this. They come off sort of venial. They come off puritanical.
Yes.
All they care about is his dick.
Wow.
All they care, that's all they care about, to the exclusion of any serious substantive question.
But the problem with...
And you can say, well, the problem is, but they never fucking have the serious
The wiener, at every turn, mishandled everything. When he originally tweeted the picture of his junk that got him in trouble the first time, yes, he denied it was him. He lied. Again, the cover-up, mm-hmm, the cover-up is worse than the crime. And this is another classic sense in that. He did everything wrong. He goes on the campaign trail. He's fighting with the guy in a bakery on the campaign trail.
The guy in the bakery, you'll reveal why Wiener got mad at the guy,
but Wiener comes off as a dick doing that. I mean, the guy's, he just can't seem to, he needed somebody to shut him down and handle the situation in a way that he didn't do it. And, you know, he only, at the end of the day, he only has himself to blame, right? I imagine you can't blame the fucking media. He only has himself to blame.
I'm not blaming the media. I'm just saying it's a portion of this film that's interesting.
He makes poor decisions. You can't have a guy who makes poor decisions in a high office.
Do you not think that there's a venial gotcha quality to a lot of coverage of everything?
Yes, but they actually got him, though. That's the difference.
Yeah, but for what? For what?
For lying.
Okay. So that's the issue.
Yes.
Well, to me, that's hypocritical and phony, in that there are lies that affect people's lives, and there are lies that affect his family.
Yeah.
And those are the only things that are matter.
Well,
there is a puritanical. It's about sex.
It's not. It's not about sex. Sex is.
It's about sex.
Listen.
You don't believe people are fucking at Comic Cons.
I believe people will have sex after a Comic-Con. A minimum of two people had sex after a Comic-Con. I agree. It's not zero. It's at least two.
Okay.
At least two.
I know reporters. I know people that I know reporters, and they aren't fucking. I'll tell you that. I mean,
okay, but
in terms
like,
of, I think there's a certain aspect whenever someone has sexual urgency, particularly male sexual urgency in this country.
Yeah.
The reality of the issue. I think most men will never fucking say this publicly because we are not allowed.
Yeah.
We are werewolves.
Well,
we want sex in a way that women don't really understand the extent to which we do. And the fact that you're a good guy and you suppress your urges comes contrary to what the biological imperative is. Anthony Weiner couldn't master that and couldn't control that. And ultimately, there's no evidence he actually touched anybody.
I know. He didn't touch anybody. And guys, you know, Spitzer and Clinton and some of these guys did far worse than he did.
In fact, I think this is less about sex than Wiener's ego.
Well, exactly. Well, the guy just can't admit that he's not what he's portrayed himself to be. And ultimately, no, people will not vote for a person like that. And we will not live... I don't believe in my lifetime I will live in a world where people will vote for somebody like that. You know, people really hold their votes it's very sacred for people, their vote. They don't want to give that to a person who's not going to be honest with them.
Well, they hold it personally. They don't think about it from a... All right. I don't think the difference between Anthony Weiner and say Larry Craig or Mark, who was the guy that went hiking in the Appalachian Trail when he was out banging his Venezuelan?
Yeah, yeah.
The
governor from South Carolina.
The difference to Anthony Weiner, I don't recall at any point in Anthony Weiner's political career that I was aware of. And I'm a political junkie, so I knew Weiner years ago
because
he'd come on the talk shows and the MSNBC.
He was a famous guy. I mean,
I don't remember him ever doing any sexual moralizing. I don't recall him ever doing any sermonizing about people's bedroom tendencies the way that a lot of times conservatives get caught doing this stuff and then get caught doing gay stuff.
Well,
he wasn't hypocritical in that sense.
It's hypocritical in the sense that you're a married man and you took a vow to your wife.
Yeah.
And you broke that vow. And when, you know, Look, do guys cheat on their wives? Sure.
Yeah.
Guys cheat on their wives all the time. I don't know what percentage of guys cheat on their wives, but guys cheat on their wives.
But there's a desire to destroy people for it that I find a little unseemly.
It's you can't. There's no argument that you or anyone else can make that Wiener got a raw deal in this. I just don't see that.
I don't think he got a raw deal. You're right. It ultimately
he made his own messes.
After he got busted, he kept doing it.
Yeah.
After he got busted, he kept doing it, and he
made his own messes.
Do you not think Sidney Leathers though was taking advantage?
Absolutely. Listen. I made a double feature out of the Wiener documentary, followed by a good 20, 30 minutes of random Sidney Leathers pornography that I was able to find online. It was wonderful.
Sure.
They should, by the way, that's how that should screen. In theaters.
Yeah.
Roadshow presentation.
Double feature.
Yeah, but drive-in. Go to the drive-in on a Friday night.
Sidney Leathers.
Watch the Wiener documentary, followed by...
Do you remember some of the titles of the Sidney Leathers productions?
Well, one of them is like Wiener Uncut, I believe is the original one. Here's what I'll tell you. My guy, here's Joel Fragamenti's guide to Sidney Leathers pornography, if I can give you that. Mm-hmm. At some point, Sidney Leathers got a boob job.
Okay.
And
so you want the post-boob job.
I think you want the pre-boob job, Sidney Leathers, because that's the one that Wiener was trying to pick up, you know? So I think that's the one you want to see. And by the way, Sidney Leathers, and listen, I'm going to say something about Sidney Leathers, but let me finish. Please, please don't interrupt my Sidney Leathers.
I'm not interrupting you, Sidney.
Sidney Leathers is kind of a fat pig, okay? But I'm not done talking. I'm not done talking.
Okay.
I'd fuck the shit out of Sidney Leathers, but she is not.
Wait, hold on. Do you need to ever make that clarification?
I'm making it here because what I'm saying is that
one thing,
even by porno standards, she's almost kind of ugly for porn.
If you successfully complete this diet and stick with it,
yes,
6 months from now,
yes,
let me ask a follow up question. Okay. We'll get back to your Sidney Leathers point. Yeah. Will this sliding scale of the new brand new, fit and trim, Navy-ready Joel Fragamenti. You can serve on a submarine at that weight.
Yes.
Will this adjust your barometer for what sweat hogs are acceptable for you to bury your nose in?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Then we will see wherein the hypocrisy lies, sir. If suddenly Joel loses weight and he's like, nah, I wouldn't touch that skank. Look at that round mound of rebound.
Well, listen, I'm being consistent. I'm not a hypocrite at this point, so yeah.
All right.
Listen,
you're an opportunist. I see how it is.
Listen, all I'm saying, when you weigh what I weighed, you're not going to get anything but fat chicks into you, probably. Right?
That's a good point.
I mean, listen, I dated pretty girls. I never dated a real nasty, mess.
Because there were secret women.
Yeah, there were secret. No, look, there weren't secrets that you just never met them.
I know, but it was a hidden. Agenda.
They weren't secrets to me. I knew who they were.
But you know, nobody who knew you knew. I mean, you have a small, you have a very tight circle. I remember. Okay, well, once I was dating a girl who I liked quite a bit.
Yeah,
and when I lived in Ferndale, and. She'd kind of come over, and we'd just go right into my room and watch movies or whatever, or we'd go out to dinner.
Okay.
She was like, you're hiding me from your friends. And I'm like, no, I'm shielding you because my friends are dicks.
And they would have said things about her or told you she was
my roommates were just generally.
Well, you're a dick.
Yeah, I know.
I don't bring girls around you.
Well, there you go.
Some of them I do, but most of them I don't. There's some of them that you know anyway because they're in a circle or you know them before I dated them. But yeah, most I
surely.
Don't listen. I'm like that with anybody.
Well, whatevs.
You know. Okay. So anything else on Wiener? But yeah, Sidney Leathers is not like
I will just
if she hadn't done the Wiener thing. And first, I think they'll let any girl do porn, but. I don't think
no one would have known.
No one would have cared about her in porn. Yeah, I don't.
No one would have ever heard her name, and they don't care about her now, except in conjunction with Wiener.
With Wiener, yeah.
So what I'm saying is that no, I'm not going to ultimately say Anthony Wiener is blameless.
Yeah,
he obviously He obviously did some things that were. I don't think anything criminal, yeah. or even he didn't even touch anybody. He did things that were sort of dishonest,
yeah.
and then proceeded in the behavior. But I'm saying this documentary is very good in yeah. that it shows you a lot of dimensions to yeah. this story. Huma looks like a real thrill ride to be with.
Yeah,
too,
well, that's not, I mean, let's not beat up on her.
No, I know.
I agree with you.
I don't want to blame the victim.
She's not, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
she
yeah.
seems, well, I mean, she hates being in this documentary.
Yeah, I'm sure she does.
She can't stand being
I'm
in
sure
the documentary.
I'm sure she hated it. She agreed to it at one point and probably regrets it now. But even if.
It's a must-see, though. It's a
even if Wiener's wife was a wild child in the sheets and bringing home girls and having threesomes with them and taking them to the fucking strip club and going to swingers
It might not have been
night.
Enough for him anyway.
Yeah, he probably still would have been sending fucking
I think
pictures
again,
of his junk
I don't think
to
this
girls.
Is, I don't think this is about sex for him as much as it was about...
reckless behavior? Is that,
I think he yeah. wanted to misbehave and he also wants to feel yeah. powerful or sexy. Or, you
yeah.
know,
because okay.
he's a guy that wanted I'm people to like him even though he was a dick.
Yes.
Ba-dum-bum. All right.
You finished Stranger Things. Let's just people still
yes,
talking about Stranger
yes.
Things. Can't
people,
get enough. Season 2 has mm-hmm. been announced. Corey finally saw the whole thing. Is the air conditioner is falling off the wall? I think.
I was like, do we have to pause? To
no,
save
we're
this
fine. It, right. Go ahead, go all ahead, because it's going to die, and this will be the end of the
all
air
right.
conditioner. It's lowered it like 4 degrees since we've been in here, so it's doing
is it
something.
Slipping out of the wall?
No, it's the compressor turning on and off, and it's just it's
okay.
very loud now. So go ahead, it's Stranger. Maybe it's. Maybe it's something from the Upside Down is speaking
Ooh.
To us.
Stranger Ooh. Things is very good, although, again, like everything, I think the internet is just designed for people to overinflate and hype everything. It's very, it is good. It's very, a very entertaining show.
I enjoyed it, but again, it's not
but
by
it's,
any means the greatest thing
no,
I've ever seen.
No, but that's because people haven't seen shit about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
And people don't, the other thing, okay, getting old means one, you don't want to go to Taco Bell all the time, and
yeah.
I'm feeling that.
Sure.
I have the lowest amount of desire for a Taco Bell I've ever had in my life.
Sure.
I'm also, you get old, you're exposed to things, and I know all of the things that Stranger Things is based on.
Yeah, what it's referencing.
It's all referencing early 80s films and late
70s. Yeah.
It's all coming out of the Spielberg factory and a little bit of John Carpenter and a little
Stephen King.
Yeah, all of that stuff. And so I'm abundantly familiar with the references in it, so it didn't blow my mind the way some people were mm-hmm. like, this is mind-blowing and life-changing. But I thought it was good.
It was
very
fine.
Solid
it was entertaining, but it wasn't, you
it
know.
Had, yeah. Okay, it had kid performances
yeah.
that I didn't hate.
No, the kids were great. The kids were the highlight of that.
Kids, and that's what was good about, like, E.T.
Yeah.
Is that you had child performance. It's a movie about kids that isn't
yeah.
annoying.
Yeah, and the Goonies, same way. Kids are good.
I'm not a big fan of the Goonies.
You're not a Goonies guy?
But, okay. No, I'm really not. But I get what you're saying. That's a kid's movie where
Stand
people
by
like
me
the kids.
Has
Stand,
that
by
as
me
well.
Is, Stand By Me is a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Or it's a movie about kids that isn't a kid's
it
movie.
It isn't a kid's movie. I saw that when I was a kid.
Right, but I'm
good.
Saying it does. It's not a specifically
It's not
a, kid's
a children's
movie.
Right. And I don't think Stranger Things is for kids either. I think Stranger Things is for grown-ups, mostly. A kid could watch it. A teenager
that's what a
kid's,
could watch by the way, that's what a kid's movie should be.
Yeah.
It should be made for adults, but that kids should it should appeal to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or kids should find it.
Yeah.
If it's about kids, it shouldn't be made for kids.
Exactly, yes. When you make it for kids, you just have to dumb it down. You know, you dumb it down too much.
Yeah, you saccharine it up and make it yeah. so that Stranger Things is this is showing the Netflix model working well.
Well, and the thing about the Netflix model too is this stuff comes out and it comes out all at once. And it makes an impact in a way, I think, because of social media and because, you know, people will watch it all in a day or 2 days. And then they're instantly
yeah.
on. They have this, like, really intense experience with it that they can't wait to share with people. Because, oh, if you have Netflix, you have to watch Stranger Things. I told you, you know, originally the guy that I ran into wanted to almost punch me because I told him I hadn't watched it yet. And I was like, what drives this intensity? And I actually don't understand it other than it is a little bit of hysteria. You know, it is some form of internet the same thing that fuels outrage at, you know, legal judgments and these kind of things and, you know, the social justice warriors on the internet. I think it's the same thing that fuels sort of Netflix hysteria and like, we must watch Orange is the New Black today and Fuller House is the greatest thing I've ever seen and, you know, all these shows. And I don't really buy into those because I think it makes the stuff is overhyped and Stranger
yeah.
Things isn't as good as its hype. But I still enjoyed it, and I still think it's good. I don't know if I talked about this, but Sean Levy, who did The movie Real Steel that I was an extra on for a couple weeks was in this. So I met Sean, and he was the executive producer and directed some of the episodes. I forget the brothers, the guys who actually wrote and directed most of these. Have another. What's the name of their other show? They have a show on Fox. It's like a Saturday night kind of Twin Peaks kind of deal. I forget the name. Wayward Pines, I think, is their other show. Does that ring a bell?
Matt Duffer and Ross Duffer.
Is it Wayward Pines? That's their show.
Duffer Brothers.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. But yeah, they made that show too. I've never seen that, but it's intriguing. They got me. I'll probably watch season two, and you know, if that's no good, I'll gladly jump off. I'll gladly bail out.
Wayward Pines. Yeah,
Wayward Pines. That's the other show. So yeah, I mean, Stranger Things. We Joel and Corey approve.
I hope that the second season of Stranger Things is not a sequel.
I think it's gonna be.
I think it should be like a anthology.
They've released a teaser and they say that it probably will
be a sequel.
Sequel, yes. I know. No, I'm with you.
I would like to see just another story told.
I like those
in a similar
capsule
vein.
Season things, because the Killing was
Fargo is doing that.
Okay, Fargo's doing it. Yeah, the Killing, which was really great on AMC, which came out, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, had a great first season. Midway through the first season, it was such a boffo hit that they decided to extend the mystery of the killing of this girl to a whole second season, which stretched everything out and made it terrible and kind of ruined that.
What Fargo did was the first season, the second season was like a prequel based on one of the, like, you know what I mean? You follow
you take
one
a character, yeah. And that's what the Killing did ultimately, like in season three. Same characters, different murder mystery.
I'm saying that's probably
same
better
detectives.
You like set it in the same world.
Yeah, in the same world.
And then
yeah.
It's got similarities, but it's not a direct sequel.
Yeah, Fargo, I only saw some of season one, the first couple season ones, and I really enjoyed that.
Season two is phenomenal.
That's what they say. Season one was kind of the movie, but kind of not. It was
parallel.
Like, parallel and similar, but not exactly.
And season two of Fargo is nothing like the movie, but it has a tonal feeling that's similar.
All right, so let's go on to my Banksy investigation.
Oh, good Lord.
Hey, you forgot about this and that I've teased for the whole show? The Banksy, I will tell you.
Yeah.
Here's what I will tell you. Okay, so this week the news came out, and everyone was talking about it, that here's the Daily Mail here. Robert 3D Del Naja, the founding member of Massive Attack, accused of being the guerrilla graffiti star Banksy. Okay, so basically a guy did a guy who has a blog, which I read, did an investigation, a guy named Craig Williams, that said he looked at all the cities where murals credited to Banksy, meaning when Banksy takes credit to a mural, it is considered official when there is a photograph on the official Banksy website. That's how Banksy takes credit for his murals. Mm-hmm. People have put up thanks Banksy, fake Banksys, and you know art that kind of looks like Banksy, but if it's not on Banksy's website, it's not officially Banksy. So this guy studied where all of these things have popped up over the last 20 years. And he also lined up where Massive Attack were playing their concerts. And what he found was there's an outline, and I'll put that on the website on joelradio.net. I'll link to it. Where these major Banksy installations, like his show in Los Angeles that he did, which took place for several weeks, was within a week of a Massive Attack show in Los Angeles, okay?
Yeah.
I believe it was the time right before the movie Eggs Through the Gift Shop came up, which we'll get to in a minute. There were Banksy murals popping up all over the United States. There were Massive Attack concerts in and around most of those cities within a week of those. When Banksy did his New York residency in October 2013, there were Massive Attack shows in late September 2013 in New York City. And this evidence goes on and on and on about this.
Our friend Michael Siegel pointed out that there were Banksy's in 2010 in May that were found that Massive Attack hadn't played here, but they were in Toronto.
Okay, yeah. So
that it was potential.
There's a lot
that
of
they
these
came down.
Going
he
on.
You
yeah,
know
so.
He could have come down from Toronto.
So there's lots of stories there. Now, traditionally, what people have thought in their various investigations up to this point about Banksy and his identity is there's a guy named Robin Gunningham, who's an artist from Bristol, who did graffiti art in the 90s. He actually was a friend, and this is how Robert Del Naja comes in, is that they, Robert Del Naja is also from Bristol, and they were graffiti artists. It was Banksy in 3D. They were friends and did a lot of this graffiti art together and ran in the same circles. Now, we believe Robin Gunningham is Banksy because the name, we believe, is derived from Robin Gunningham took the original name Robin Banks. You get that? That's a pun. Robin Banks, like robbing banks. And then shortened that name from Robin Gunningham to Robin Banks to just Banksy. So that's why we believe Banksy is Robin Banks. That's been the traditional thing. But the thought process here is that maybe Banksy is more than one guy. It could be Robin Gunningham and 3D from Massive Attack, who's done lots and lots of artwork for his albums in sort of a similar spray can sort of graffiti style. So there's a lot of similarities there. I believe there's actually, there is an interview with Robert Del Naja in Exit Through the Gift Shop, I believe. Very brief interview. And he's been in some of that official Banksy stuff. He's mentioned in a book Banksy put out of his art as well, chronicling his history, and talks about Robert Del Naja in there. So there's a lot of these rumors that it may be Robert Del Naja. So I decided to do some investigation. You know, when I was watching the movie Exit Through the Gift Shop, which is fantastic, by the way. If you've never seen it, it's a great movie. It's a documentary. It's almost a farce in some ways.
Which,
it's
you really, know, chronicles Mr. Brainwash,
yes,
who many people think is a front for Banksy.
For Banksy as well. So it's a whole assorted tale there. I decided I would start with Exit Through the Gift Shop. Banksy is interviewed in silhouette with his voice changed. What can we learn? Because I remember seeing that and seeing the interview with Robert Del Naja and going, that guy kind of reminds me of Robert Del Naja. I've been a fan of Massive Attack. Do you need to hear their music? You can look up their music.
Drop it.
Well, I can play some. I have to get it on Google Play here for a second. But yeah, I mean, the song Safe from Harm, Protection, very famous song that everyone would know from Massive Attack. There's several of these that people might know. Very big in England. Let me get Massive Attack for you here. Let's play a little Teardrop. Everyone will know this. Right, you know this, Corey, right?
Yeah.
Good tune. Kind of trip-hop is sort of what they're known as.
Yes.
That would be their genre. And if you know the rapper Tricky, originally a member of the band Massive Attack as well. It's a slow build, this Teardrop. Anyway, I could talk over this, I guess. I don't want to get in trouble because I think I'm going to put this on YouTube. I should stop playing that. But you guys know. I'll fast forward to a little Teardrop so you guys hear. Well, I went back to the beginning. All right, fuck playing his music. Anyway, Massive Attack. You can find it on YouTube if you want to hear Massive Attack. Good music, trip-hop. Trip-hop, sort of. Chill, sort of ambient stuff. Very good stuff. I enjoy it. Enjoyed some Massive Attack albums from back in the day.
Sure.
So I went back to Exit Through the Gift Shop and said, is there any evidence in there of that? So I'm listening to, I begin to listen to the interviews that Banksy gave. And I start to watch Banksy. And I go, geez, the way this guy's sitting is sort of unique. He sits in a chair. And I go, how does Banksy sit in a chair, Corey? I'll put your direction this way. This is what Banksy looks like in Exit Through the Gift Shop. If you take a look over here, Corey.
That's
what he looks like in Exit Through the Gift Shop. It's silhouette. But you see the way he's sitting.
He's wearing a hoodie.
A hoodie. His face is completely blacked out. You see his hands, his torso, his legs, you know, very well covered up. So I said, well, that's kind of a unique way of sitting. Let me look at some Robert Del Naja interviews, Massive Attack done interviews. Could I find anything? So I found this Massive Attack interview in a hotel room, where Robert Del Naja is sitting in a chair, and Robert Del Naja looks like this, Corey.
Okay, spread legs.
Spread legs, look at the hands, look at the position of the fingers, look at the way he's gripping the chair with his left hand, Corey. I'm going to bring you back over here.
Okay.
Look over here. There he is, gripping the chair with his left hand. Look at the way his hand with one finger extended, legs going in two directions. Here's Robert Del Naja sitting in a chair, Corey.
Okay.
Okay. Hand that way, Leg spread that way. Very similar posture to Banksy, as you see it there. Here they are side by side. I've done a side by side comparison.
Oh, look at this.
Very, very similar. Okay, correct? Sure. Yes or no? Is that very, very similar?
There's certain similarities, yeah.
That could be him. Put a hoodie on Robert Del Naja here
now,
on the right.
Now, if you recall back to our groundbreaking Peabody Award winning episode on the Fappening.
I was hoping people might forget that investigation.
I recall that we did a very careful nipple by nipple recreation.
Who did we try to figure
out?
Well,
I think that we looked at.
Was it Aubrey Plaza?
We analyzed the hands of Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yes.
And her hands are visible in the Fappening photos.
I guess I've done this kind of forensic work before.
Then we looked at like red carpet photos, and we realized those were her hands. There were also some tattoos that gave certain starlets away and stuff.
Blake Lively, some people went that. I saw Christina Hendricks' tits. People compared the veins in her tits.
Most of the girls in the Fappening, you could clearly tell who they were. But Aubrey Plaza had some shots where her head was obscured.
Right. By the way, I've seen the Leslie Jones.
Well, why?
Because I'm a fucking. I'm sorry.
Of all the
I'm
things
a fucking
you could
masochist.
Have done.
I know.
Look, I know. I was shitting on your diet, but you just. I'm going to lose 40 pounds because I'm going to start dry heaving. I'm going to throw up all of my fucking guts looking at that goddamn
hobgoblin. I can't believe we're stopping
hobgoblin.
The Banksy investigation.
No, Banksy can fucking.
No, but that is pretty
that
good.
Hobgoblin
this image,
Leslie Jones.
This image that I've created. That I have investigated and created here in the Joel Radio Studios is powerful proof, number one, that Robert Del Naja, for the purposes of this film, Exit Through the Gift Shop, here's my theory, for the purposes of Exit Through the Gift Shop, that Robert Del Naja did these sit-down interviews as Banksy. You want further proof? Let's go into the audio. Let's go to the audio. Robert, here's Banksy as he sounds in the film Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Short lifespan, so it needed documenting. You know, we all needed someone who knew how to use a camera.
So that's a little Banksy. Very altered voice, deep, kind of electronic warbling on it. So, I'm pretty good with the audio editing. You know, I do a good job of making Joel Radio sound nice. Could I make the audio of Banksy from Exit Through the Gift Shop sound a little more normal? So this is what I came up with.
Your lifespan, so it needed documenting. You know, we all needed someone who knew how to use a camera.
So that's the same clip. I'll play it for you one more time. Here's the altered Banksy voice, direct from the movie.
Your lifespan, so it needed documenting.
And here is pitch corrected.
So it needed documenting. You know, we all needed someone who knew how to use a camera.
Now, I think that sounds pretty normal when I pitch corrected. I think I got rid of the deepness. So I think even though there is an electronic warbling, I believe we have the actual pitch of that person's voice speaking as Banksy. Didn't end there. I went further.
Okay.
I found interviews with Robert Del Naja.
Okay.
From YouTube. Let's go to those.
Let's go to the tape.
Pubs and my friends. Every long night in sort of around the table after dinner, no one's
Robert Del Naja.
We're going to war. No one gives a clear answer. Can't give each other a clear answer. And as citizens of this country, you can't go into war without knowing what you're doing. It's absolutely.
Now I'm going to play once again. Here's the altered from Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Your lifespan, so it needed documenting. You know, we all needed someone who knew how to use a camera.
And then here's Robert Del Naja again.
Pubs and my friends. Every long night in sort of around the table after dinner, we ask each other why we're going to war. No one gives a clear answer. Can't give each other a clear answer.
Do you want to hear it again? I have another Robert Del Naja. I'm going to give
your
you a different
lifespan,
one. Here's
so it needed
Banksy.
Documenting.
Pitch
you
corrected.
Know, we all needed someone who knew how to use a camera.
And here's Robert Del Naja.
Rough and smooth. And I think when you listen back to your own albums, you're obviously so critical. And when you listen back to Mesny, it kind of felt that it had a certain mood and didn't really stray from it too far. So, you know, feel like we need to kind of...
Yeah. And here's another thing to listen for. I'll play it again. There's a certain lispiness to the S's, and it exists in both guys. It's very distinct. And I think in Exit to the Gift Shop, it's distorted enough where it just kind of sounds like maybe it's part of the electronic distortion. But listen again for the S sounds. Mm-hmm. Just the S sounds. Listen for those.
Your lifespan, so it needed documenting. You know, we all needed someone who knew how to use a camera.
He says,
bit of rough and smooth. And
listen to this.
I think when you listen back to your own albums, you're obviously so critical. And when you listen back to Mesny, it kind of felt that it had a certain mood that didn't really stray
from
it.
Well, it's certainly similar.
Well, I think I broke this wide open,
Corey. Now,
do
we have any audio of Robin Gunningham?
We don't have any. Okay, there is a photograph of Robin Gunningham. I probably have it printed out here. The one photo of Robin Gunningham that people are crediting to him is from Jamaica back in the 90s. And it looks nothing like Robert Del Naja. So that's why I believe that either, you know, here's Robin Gunningham there. That's the one photograph that people say. Mm-hmm. The Banksy caught at work, kind of a heavier set guy, doesn't really look like the guy in
Exit
the Gift Shop.
Well, it's not so heavily set that it doesn't, it's not.
You know, it could be.
Not, it's not like he's John Candy.
It could be the guy on the left, but I believe through pitch correction that I think that's Robert Del Naja's voice. I'm going with that. I mean, to me, you know, I
actually see a couple. There's a profile photo of Robin.
Of Robert Del Naja. Yeah.
No, of Robin Gunningham.
Of Robin Gunningham.
And someone has a picture of him at school as a kid.
Yeah, as a kid. Yeah, you can find those. Okay. Now, let's go further. I'm not done here. I decided, is there any other instances of Massive Attack and Banksy intersecting? I did find one, far more than one. The first one I found was, Banksy did a piece in the New York installation. And if you see the documentary, Banksy Does New York, which was on HBO, which Banksy didn't make, but I thought was pretty good anyway, where they show all the art that he did for that month. He did a thing called The Sirens of the Lambs, where it was like puppets of animals on the back of a meat truck, you know, like being led to slaughter. And it was like very cutesy car. You know the one I'm talking about, right, Corey?
Yes.
Sirens of the Lambs.
There's like puppet
animals.
And
they're making puppet noises in the back of this truck as it's driving through the city. Well, that surfaced one more time outside of New York City. It surfaced at the 2014 Glastonbury Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And
Where Robin Gunningham was performing.
Robert Del Naja was headlining the other stage on Sunday night with Massive Attack.
Well,
so Massive Attack. Now, granted, there's 100 bands at Glastonbury, and the odds that... Okay, and I've got one more thing, and this may be the best evidence of all. I'm going to show you this. Let me find this for you before we move any further. Okay. The only piece of artwork that has ever been officially and commercially commissioned that Banksy's ever done is an album cover. Okay, he did an album cover for another artist, and it says here it is, the album cover. I have it up here right now, Corey. It's called Think Tank. Yes. If you're looking at it, can you?
I'm looking. Let's go.
I'm
getting questions.
Okay, please stop answering questions. We'll get to those. We'll do the mailbag in a minute, Corey. The mailbag's at the end of the show. There's no fucking mailbag. All right. This is the Think Tank album cover done by Banksy, distinctive Banksy style.
Gotcha.
It's the only thing that Banksy has ever done commercially for like another artist. He's never done another album cover. He's done some Banksy things that he's done for Banksy projects, but never that. So I said, okay, is there any connection between the band Blur and Robert Del Naja? It turns out that the lead singer of Blur, Damon Albarn, is very good friends with Robert Del Naja. Mm-hmm. In fact, I went so far as to say this. If you Google a Google image search of, and I did it right here, and I screen capped the whole thing. Here it is, Corey. A full investigation has been done. Would you look at this?
Look at you.
With red circles and everything. I'm an actual crazy man.
Are you looking at the fonts?
No. Those are my fonts. This is writing that I put on here. Listen, I Google searched Robert Del Naja 2003. And what I found in the very first, like, 20 images that come up, 7 images of Damon Albarn, many of them with Robert Del Naja together in 2003. So when you're looking for Robert Del Naja photos from 2003, it's photographs of Robert Del Naja with Damon Albarn, almost half of them, and you get a photograph of Robert Del Naja from 2003 at a protest holding a sign created by who, Corey? Banksy.
Oh, well.
There it is.
You know.
There it is, kids.
I mean, obviously.
I'm laying it out there.
Obviously, Damon Albarn did the whole Gorillaz thing.
He did the Gorillaz thing, which is sort of
Jamie Hewlett. Hewlett, who was the Tank Girl artist.
Yep.
And so, obviously, he's into a little bit of pranking and visual.
He's into a little bit of that, too.
Because the Gorillaz were a you know, hoax band that became a big hit.
They're cartoon band.
Yeah. Even though everybody knew it was Damon Albarn and all that stuff.
But this is it, right? This blows it wide open.
I would say that
this is it. This is like, I'm not saying there's a lot of smoke. I'm not saying there's fire here, because here's what very well, here's how you could explain this all away. Robert Del Naja, Robin Gunningham are friends.
Yeah.
Massive Attack goes on tour. He invites his friend, hey, we got a plane. We're traveling. We got a tour bus. Hop on the plane with us. Hang out. And you, while we're warming up for the show, you go out and do some graffiti. You hop back on a bus. We go to the next town. That would explain it all. I absolutely agree with that. But boy, when you see these things, when you do this image search and you bring that up, man, I got to tell you, it's a lot there. The voice, the image, at least Gunningham said, let's have Robert play me in Exit Through the Gift Shop. I mean, that's entirely feasible and possible.
The thing about it is, and this is kind of the problem with a lot of conspiracy theories, which I'm saying it works in the favor of this one.
Yeah.
A lot of conspiracy theories, or it's bad writing in a movie or a television show when you're looking for the killer.
Yeah.
When in any mystery, the killer is always one of four people that are introduced in the first scene.
Yes.
Right? It's never like, okay, now in real life, there might be some random circumstance where someone killed somebody and we didn't have no connection
to
the victim. But in a movie, they're going to introduce
the
suspect.
It's got to be, it can't
Columbo
be
walks into
movie.
A room and one of the four people did it,
yeah.
and he knows who did it.
Yeah.
Well, there's connective tissue here that would seem to indicate this is a guy who is, Robert Del Naja is successful, wealthy, has media connections.
Yes.
So there could certainly be people that have helped him
absolutely
get the word out or interviewers.
A couple other things. Steve Lazaridis here is the bald guy. He is Banksy's agent and also represents 3D's artwork as well. I'm not saying, again, that couldn't be two different guys. He represents both, but here's a photo of them being chummy at an art opening.
Well,
Steve Lazaridis is also interviewed in Exit Through the Gift Shop. Yeah. There's a photo of them. Here's another thing, and this is a great thing, and I think I even saw you make this point on Facebook when you were discussing this last week. You know, being Robert Del Naja is the greatest costume you could ever have. Banksy can hide in plain sight. Yeah. Banksy can go to Glastonbury. Oh, it's just the guy from Massive Attack's here.
Look, it's a
it's
the Massive Attack thing gives him, it's like a superhero.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Peter Parker is a photojournalist who covers crime.
Yeah.
So he just happens to be wherever Spider-Man shows up.
Yeah, and that, so that would absolutely work for him.
It's like a cover story for him.
So we go someplace, we go to an art opening. And you see Robert Del Naja. Well, who cares if it's Robert Del Naja? No one cares. Well, maybe that's Banksy. Maybe that's why that's why there's not photographs of Banksy. Maybe that's why, you know, Robert Del Naja gets photographed and no one thinks boo of it. They go, "Oh, that's 3D from Massive Attack." So, I mean, there's just a lot of smoke here, and I think I've come up with some new stuff. I've never heard anyone do the pitch correction on Exit Through the Gift Shop.
It'll come.
No one's ever
now.
No one's. Well, hey, listen. My goal is to make this. You know, I want to be part of this, and I want to be part of the zeitgeist here. I want to be part of this. Listen, I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, but there could be two, three guys. And do you remember the story of the Detroit Banksy?
You're wrong on that one.
Okay, here's the thing. Do you remember the story of the Detroit Banksy?
Yes, it was not discovered. It was discovered. Somebody did the timeline. I got to find that post.
I can basically give you the thumbnail sketch on the Detroit Banksy. A lot of the Banksys in America showed up around the time that Exit Through the Gift Shop was screening in America, and I think this one did too. But when it was on a wall, I believe, of the old Packard plant, and what they did is they cut the wall out, the guy who owned the Packard plant, and he sold it to a gallery. That gallery decided to put it on auction at, like, Julian's or one of these places for a shit ton of money. Right. Well, what happened was two Detroit artists, local artists, came out of the woodwork and said, "Hey, this is not a Banksy. We did this artwork." And what their claim is was that Banksy finds artists in local cities and emails them.
Gives them a template.
The templates and directions on how he would like this thing done. And then local artists do the work. It is claimed as a Banksy, but is actually the work of these two local Detroit artists. Now, I haven't spoken to them. I may give them proof of my Robert Del Naja investigation, see if they're interested, and we can do a follow-up show based on that. But, you know, that would also lend a lot of credence to this theory. Maybe Robert Del Naja is doing these, putting the Banksy name on him. Maybe Robin Cunningham's putting his name on these. Maybe other people are putting their name on these.
It does seem like it could be a very complicated
It's a collective. System. Yeah, it's a collective of artists.
There's nothing
perhaps.
About the Banksy artwork that is specific to, you know, he doesn't have to, it doesn't have to involve, they're doing stencils.
Yeah, well, but he does sculpture and he does other mm-hmm. pieces. He did the Dismaland, the Disneyland parody this year. He's done some things. So, I mean, he does work in mixed media and, but I do think the thing about Banksy that leads me away from all of this and leads me a little bit away from 3D, as much as evidence as I found and these journalists mm-hmm. who's been doing the investigations, is that Banksy does have a voice. And I don't believe the voice is the voice of a collective. I believe any artistic voice, and Banksy clearly has one if you've seen enough of his artwork, mm-hmm. I believe an artistic voice really can only come from one person.
Well, I don't.
And that's why I do feel like there is a creator. There is a Robin Cunningham that is behind this in all likelihood. There is probably a guy who wants to remain unknown. And certainly Robert Del Naja would have reasons for wanting to be unknown.
Well,
he would maybe not want to have his music and his artwork associated because it would hold back both potentially.
I mean, it's a collective creatively.
Yeah.
I think it's a collective in terms of he has a lot of assistants.
It is a Warhol factory type thing.
He has a lot of agents. Well, he has people that help him do it.
There's video. I don't know if it's in the Banksy Does New York movie. It may be, but I know you can see it on YouTube, where when they were installing the New York a piece where it was the Don't Fear the Reaper bumper car ride, where they put a Grim Reaper skeleton with a sickle in a bumper car and it drives around like a basketball court playing Don't Fear the Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
There's footage of them installing it. They're behind a tarp, and you see a heavyset, white-bearded man with an English accent who is giving orders to workers inside that. Could it be Robin Cunningham 20 mm-hmm. years later? It could have been. Doesn't really look like him. Certainly doesn't look like Robert Del Naja. So that's another guy that people have photographed. And, you know, the guy who was driving the truck of some of these things has been photographed. So it's a weird
Ultimately, don't you think that the grander scheme of the keeping it a secret is the art piece? More than any of the particular works that Banksy does.
If this is a plot by Robert Del Naja, boy, that's cunning. You know, that's really smart, and that is a piece of artwork. If it's just a guy, Robin Cunningham, trying to not get too much attention in his personal life, he wants to be able to walk down the street, and he wants to be able to, you know, go to McDonald's and not be bothered. I get that too. It's not as cool. Certainly, the Robert Del Naja thing is the coolest thing. You know, that's the coolest story behind Banksy. And I think today...
Well,
listen,
and you know what, though? But logically, again,
opportunity.
Where is Robin Cunningham getting the money to travel all around
the world?
Well,
at this point, Banksy does sell artwork through Steve Lazzaridi. So
okay, but when it started...
No, at the time, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now the Banksy stuff goes for hundreds of
years. And actually, if you look at the success, you know, Massive Attack came out in 1991. Banksy didn't really get famous till 97. The landmark album Mezzanine by Massive Attack came out right around the time that Banksy started going. So, I mean, there's a lot of smoke.
Well, it's a very
There's great, a lot of smoke.
Well, you know, it's also not unusual for someone who is creative in one aspect to be creative in another.
Absolutely.
Look at our own John Tenney.
John Tenney, a man
Look
of many
talents. Look at our songwriter.
Yeah.
That's about all John does.
Television personality, mm-hmm. podcaster.
Television radio.
Lecturer.
John's a rare example in that that is a guy I know who is visually, who thinks visually. He's a graphic designer.
Graphic designer, yeah. That's how John's made maybe more money in his life than anything else, is being a graphic
that's
designer.
That's the most real jobs John's ever had as a graphic designer. But he's a graphic designer, layout artist, web builder, illustrator.
He was a shopkeeper.
Right.
At one point, so
he's good on camera. John's a multi-talented guy.
Yeah.
So, for Del Naja to be a guy that's, you know, visually capable and can write songs. Not unusual.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. We'll see where this all plays out. If there's any more evidence anyone wants to give, I think I've contributed to this. I will take some praise if you have any for this. If not, my
I know
diet.
I you did a very
thank you very much.
You know, when you said you were doing research on this,
you always
I
think,
of course went oh for fuck's
I'm
sake.
Downloading pictures no, of naked actually, celebrities. I know I
no,
put
no,
a lot
no,
of
no no no.
You will never criticize my naked celebrity.
I will give you this, Joel. I will give you this, Joel.
Yeah.
No one puts more effort into things that don't matter than Joel Fragman. You really are dedicated and disciplined.
I'll tell you what. When I'm not eating, I need something to take my mind off.
You're going
to
be
eating.
You're going to be you're going to be solving a lot of things now.
Oh, I'm playing a lot of video games. Don't get me wrong. I am taking my mind off of not eating.
Next week, Joel will uncover Jack the Ripper.
Well,
we'll finally get to the bottom of
that. Next week, I'm going to two Springsteen shows on the East Coast.
Well, that's good.
So I'm off to do that, and I've got to figure out what I'm going to eat for those days. Again, I think I'm going to have Boston clam chowder in Boston, so that'll be something I'll have. But it's going to be a good time. I think that's going to do it. I don't think I can do any more.
That leads us, though, that does, you just set us up for one of the viewer mail questions.
Okay. Oh, yeah. If you have any mailbag questions,
here we go. Here's a mailbag question.
I feel like this show's going on forever.
This comes from Veronica Nussbaum.
Oh, she's my favorite.
Yes, who said, did you talk about how everyone... Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. She wants to know why nobody's bringing up Gene Wilder's 25-year marriage to his widow. They all talk about
Gilbert. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, he got Gilda remarried
Radner.
And
yeah, nobody cares about her. They all talk about Gilda.
I believe Gene... actually, did you know that Gilda was married when she met Gene?
Yes.
She was married to G.E. Smith, the band leader from Saturday Night Live.
Who, by the way, was the band director at the Republican National Convention, which I found really weird
because
I hadn't seen him in forever.
Well,
and
he's
he
from Cleveland, and if you also remember where we saw him, boy, do you forget his leading of the Cleveland Browns pep band at Cleveland Browns Field when we were there,
oh,
Corey?
Oh, that's right.
He was the leader of the pep band. I saw G.E. Smith. G.E. Smith led Bob Dylan's band when I saw Bob Dylan in concert as well.
And,
so.
Okay, the other question.
Other questions, more questions.
From Veronica Nussbaum.
Veronica Nussbaum. One of my, really?
From.
Boy, Veronica and I haven't seen her in a.
Veronica
in
Nussbaum.
A coon's age.
Says, did Joel just recently discover his love of Bruce Springsteen, or was it a lifelong thing?
I
Because he seems he's just recently become a diehard.
I am a lapsed Bruce Springsteen fan. Okay. I was a fan of Bruce Springsteen in the 80s during Born in the USA and the Live 75-85 album and even the Tunnel of Love era.
Mm-hmm.
When 90s music started kicking in when I became a young man and, you know, I was 19 years old in 1991, the year punk broke. So at that point, I really wasn't interested in Bruce as much. But what I found is that Bruce's music got better. You know, in the 90s, he really was not making a lot of good music. But his later efforts were very good, and I'll give credit to a guy that we both know. And another reason for you, another reason for Corey maybe to not like this guy, but I was talking to a guy, our friend Jeff Dawoskin. I'm making fun.
I like Jeff.
We like Jeff. I know. I'm busting.
Why not?
I'm busting his balls more than yours in this, but...
We have never said anything bad about Jeff on the show.
No. But Jeff Dawoskin he told me... you know, probably in like 2009 or 2007 or something. He goes, I went to Bruce Springsteen at America Park. And I go, really? I go, you know, I was a fan when I was a kid and I always wanted to go. But, you know, in the 80s, you could never get tickets. I mean, tickets were impossible to get for Springsteen in the 80s, you know. And he goes, no. I says, it's still good. Should I go? He goes, yeah, if you get a chance, go. And God damn it, when I had a night off from Comedy Castle in 2012, I bought a ticket for $50 behind the stage. I went. I thought it was absolutely incredible. And I've been going as much as I can ever since. So that's my history with Bruce Springsteen.
You can get into... I didn't get into the Beach Boys until my 30s.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I really wasn't...
Yeah, but I mean, I knew all of Bruce's stuff.
So
you know,
it'll happen sometimes.
Point, yeah.
Like, I would say, I would, you know, I was okay with the Beach Boys. I didn't really... Actually, I didn't like the Kokomo era, and I still
Yeah, exactly, yeah, and you shouldn't.
And by the way...
And it's shite, and you shouldn't. And
I might review Mike Love's new autobiography if I get a copy
of
it.
Okay, that's good.
Because if I can stomach it. Because Mike, it's a weird situation.
Bruce's biography is coming out, too.
Well, this may be a topic for another day, because we've been doing 2 hours of this.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up.
But maybe for the future. Is there any band you can think of where you love the band and hate one of the members?
Well,
because I feel that way with the Beach Boys.
I think so.
All right, well...
I think there's things that are there. So. And I think that there are... Here's the thing, Corey. There's Beach Boys fans that are really just Brian Wilson fans. I think. Is that true about Beach Boys?
Well, it's I like Carl and Dennis, and I think they were contributors.
You like the dead ones.
Yeah. Well, Al Jardine's never did anything.
Yeah, yeah, right. But
it was obviously, unlike the Beatles or even the Monkees or the Stones, where you can kind of go, I'm more of a fan of this. You know, I like George the best, and I like his stuff.
Yeah.
Or I like Keith Richards more than I like Mick. The vast majority of the Beach Boys is Brian Wilson.
Is Brian Wilson. But, you know, Mike Love was the lead singer and certainly was the most visible member of the band, especially when Brian decided to go sit in the sandbox or whatever the fuck he did for 2 decades.
So anyway, apparently his new biography, he's grinding axes. So,
well, he did a thing back in, I think, the late 80s where he, when the Beach Boys went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he got on stage. You can probably find this on YouTube during his acceptance speech. And he said the Beach Boys were the greatest rock stars and he was better than Bob Dylan and the Beatles. And he challenged the boss to get on stage and jam. Mm-hmm. Because at that time, Bruce was the biggest rock star.
He wanted to jam
with the boss. And I think Bruce did end up getting up there, but come on. Mike Love is not Bruce Springsteen. I mean, come on.
No.
He's not.
Mike Love is lucky that he had a cousin that was a genius.
And I will, here's what I will tell you about Bruce. When you talk about greatest acts in the history of rock and roll, okay? Here's what I'll tell you. I think Bruce is the greatest performer in the history of rock and roll. I think in a live setting, I think Bruce Springsteen is the most energetic, captivating, charismatic frontman, band leader there's ever been. Not everyone loves his songs.
Mm.
Not everyone loves his guitar playing.
What about Jagger?
I've seen the Stones, and I've seen the Stones live. I've seen Bruce live.
I know. Look.
I prefer Bruce live. I love Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney, more of a musical genius than Bruce, and I'll give Paul McCartney that.
But better.
Beatles records better than Springsteen records.
But better live.
In a live setting, Springsteen's better than McCartney.
You know, I know you think I just hate everything you do. The problem with the Springsteen for me is I'm the soul of ambivalence towards Bruce Springsteen. I don't want to shit on it.
Yeah.
But you are really into it, and I can't match your enthusiasm. So that's the problem.
It's a lot of the enthusiasm will come from a live show. And Bruce's career, if he's made career mistakes, it's that he's never been able to capture that live thing.
But can you
in a
but nobody
form
can,
that people can
look,
see?
Look, they said Shecky Green was phenomenal live, and it just didn't translate. And you had to see him in the
night. Yeah, but you know, I mean, look, millions and millions of people have seen Bruce Springsteen. He is
dozens and dozens of people have seen Shecky Green.
Yeah, I know. So you know, millions of people have been converted. And look, I don't want to say that you will love Bruce Springsteen. Certainly, you know, Rob Little's a guy we know, and maybe you're not a fan of. You know, Rob's little's musical taste may not do much for you, but, you know, he...
I don't really know if I've ever talked to Rob about his musical
taste. He likes hair metal for the most part.
Man.
But Rob, you know, me and Rob went to the Springsteen show this past spring, and Rob, you know, he played the entire River album, which is 20 songs that are not some of his most popular. And Rob did
like
not...
I'd like to thank our listeners for writing in, except Veronica Nussbaum, because now we're on a 20-minute rabbit hole.
I'm wrapping this up.
Fucking Springsteen.
Rob did not think that Springsteen was as good as everyone said it was, but he did have fun. So that was his review.
All right.
Now, had he seen a different show, he might have enjoyed it more. He said he didn't know the songs. Of course, Rob Little was not smart enough, knowing that you're going to a Springsteen concert where he's going to play a full, complete album all the way through, to listen to said full, complete album all the way through before he went to the show. But that never crossed his fucking mind.
Well,
and that might have affected
his
enjoyment of it.
That's a thing that happens a lot is bands play a whole album.
Yeah, but if you know you're seeing... If you're going to see Weezer and they're doing the Pinkerton tour and you buy a ticket, you should fucking know Pinkerton.
Mm.
If you're going to see Bruce and it's the River tour, know the River.
Sure.
When the Rolling Stones play
Sticky Fingers,
Jesus
and Mary Chain do Darklands.
Yeah, or Psycho Candy, you fucking get those. Anyway, let's get out of here. We got to go. I've seen enough. We've had enough.
I've done
enough. Banksy, new ground has been broken on Joel Radio. You heard it here. Spread the word. I am on the case.
All right.
I am dieting and investigating Banksy at every hour.
Joel is going to lose his mind even further.
I'm going to lose my weight.
And his mind.
My mind. Whatever my brain weighs, the 7 pounds of that, I'm going to lose as well. While I'm investigating Banksy. But thanks for listening, everybody. Joel Radio. I never got the reader mail that I had, but we'll have to get to that some other time.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
If you send in enough mail, maybe we'll do a listener mail special.
Joel, you know, I gave out my email last time, and I got email there. Joel, thecomic@gmail.com. That's you can send your thoughts and letters or us on Facebook. Once again, the public access TV interview, that's linked to on JewelRadio.net. All of the Banksy images are linked to on JewelRadio.net. Check those out. I'm on the case.
You are.
I am on the case. And I'm a basket case.
We didn't even talk about your public access show, really.
Because you wouldn't fucking talk about it, you dick. Go check that out. We'll talk about it next time. Write us, send us reviews of the public access.
By the way, I did the Black and Yellow show.
Oh, yeah.
On caveradio.com with Michael Jeter and Sandro Rodriguez.
We'll go listen to that, too.
Wes Ward and Darnell Anderson. So that was fun.
We'll get that review.
Maybe I'll put a link up for that.
All right. Sounds good. Good night, everybody. We'll catch you next time. We're on to you, Banksy.